my children's Eve. And that really it broke my heart. I mean, to me, marriage was, the way I understood my grandparents and my parents talk about is that we're supposed to be married and just enjoy that life regardless of the outcome is of and the economical and all that. And we were to work together. And I really believe that. And when he made a decision to go, and I was very hurt, and then I was angry, and I kept to myself, doing all these things, herding sheep, riding a horse, working with cattle, just everything. And then I was working. I was a social worker, helping people with domestic violence, removing children into a safer place, things like that.
Was that in Flagstaff?
No, that was on the reservation. And with the juvenile justice, I commute from here to the reservation, the nine areas on the Western Agency. And
did you grow up on the reservation?
Yes, I have. Both reservation, Oregon, Utah, New Mexico. That's where they called it the BIA school, you know, and that's where they move us around.
Do you have a lot of sisters or brothers?
I only have one sister.
Older
sister. We had a younger sister, but neither one of us saw her. And so we just done what our parents told us to do. You know, that maintain what they were teaching us, and it's all for our own good. And when we knew these things, and when we live by what they lectured and what they demonstrate, and we were not supposed to experience. I mean, we were experience some ups and downs in the future, but if we had knowledge of things like this, you know, and we'll always have some money in our pocket, have food in our cabinet, a blanket in the house, things like that, you know. And they told me, if you don't know nothing, if you're lazy, if you sleep till the sun comes up, and you don't go running, you don't roll in the snow, and you don't do these things, you're going to be like a bum, you know, not knowing anything. You're going to always say, give me this, give me that, you know.
Did you meet the father of your children on the reservation?
I met them through school. I said them because I was married twice. First, I was in high school when I met my children's father. And a big storm came in. I was going to school in Albuquerque, and I came home for Christmas. And the storm went in, and the bus, and they couldn't go through to pick us up. So they transferred me from Albuquerque to Page. So I graduated in Page. And
Did you fall in love right away?
No, all those things were taught to us too. Like I said, you know, when you grow up, when you get married, all this and that. I was embarrassed to have a boyfriend, and because I thought somebody might laugh about me, tease me. In those days, people used to tease you, you know, and it's almost like you put some kind of a cover here so you won't look around that way. But I was sitting in the classroom, and he was sitting behind me. He had a pin and poked me right here, and he said, "What's your name?" And I didn't know what to tell him. And I just didn't bother him. For I think the third day, I finally told him. I didn't tell him my name, but I told him I got transferred. He asked me where I was from. Because I came in the midterm. And because I had too many credits. I had two study hall. I had home economics, things that, you know, I could have become a welder or doctor or some, you know. And they said, you have too many credits, you know. Well, you can't even walk across the stage. We'll give you a diploma now. Just walk out. I said, no, I want to graduate. I want to walk across the stage like what my father wants me to do for them and for myself. So they accepted that. So I had all those, you know, I had a few classes like English and I didn't have math because I was done with it. I was kind of loping around. I go to the office and help. So here at Coconino High, they didn't want me because my credit was higher than the public school. I went to a boarding school. And they didn't want me here. And finally, Paige accepted me because I lived close to it. And then I graduated there.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And my father, he told me, he says, go to school, and I want you to go after this piece of paper. Not being racist, but he said, white people are talking about a piece of paper. He said, go get it and show me what it looks like. He said, they call it diploma. I said, I'll look for it. I didn't know what it looked like. I was just a little girl. So I went and I went to school and I got my diploma. My father and my mother were there. They're both deceased now. And when I walked across the stage, I went to them. And I opened my diploma and I told my dad, this is what it looks like. He said, how cheap. This is what they're talking about. You spent 12 years away from us. What did they teach you to give you a piece of paper? We have worldwide, reservation-wide, what you learn is higher than that piece of paper. He wasn't angry, but that was his remark. And then right there he told me, by now I think you know you're not done. You have to go again. You have to go to college, something called college. Go over there. There's another paper there. Go get it.
So were you married at this point or no?
No.
Okay.
But anyway, I back to the classroom. And then I was on my way to the study hall and my children's father caught up with me. He says, what class do you take? I didn't talk to him because I was shy. And then he followed me. I went to study hall. And he says, I thought your study hall was in the other class because he didn't know I had two. And then he says, how come you got all these easy class library and things like that? I don't know. I said, it just put me in there. They didn't want me in the classroom. And he just laughed about it. And then I guess he went to the office and asked why, you know, they were so mean to me that I wasn't reading and studying while he's studying. And they told him that I had more credits than the public school students. And he says, you're really smart. I said, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I've done something good. Maybe I've done something bad. Maybe I'm lacking something. I said, whatever, you know, I'm just doing what they said. Well, get me to walk across the stage. So that's how we met. We went to, I brought him lunch. I ride the bus 30 minutes from our house to town. And then another day, my friend, my girlfriend, she made a sandwich. I guess she forgot to uncover the cheese, those sliced cheese. And we're all at the park, and she says, here's some sandwich. He says, oh, thank you. And he was trying to bite it, and he said, "What's in there?" And then she looked at him, she started laughing. She works at Kokonino High now, my friend. She's a secretary. And I guess she said, "I'm so sorry, I forgot to take those plastic out the cheese." So that's how we all met. I really wanted him to go with my friend. I didn't want him. I didn't like him. He was tall, and I'm just petite. And my friend's short too, but I thought, well, they match, they should go together, you know. And so I told him, I got to get to class, so I leave. And then he heard him grab his book bag, and he followed me. And so he kept doing it, and pretty soon he said, "Let's go to a ceremony together." And so we went. I didn't know he didn't speak Navajo. He was brought up in the mission. So I was talking to him in Navajo, and he said, "I don't understand what you're saying." And so, well, I said, "It was nothing." I never told him what I said. So that's how we met. We started going together, and he asked me if he could meet my parents. I said no. I said, my mom, my dad said, "I'm not ready. I gotta go get a piece of paper. I'm on a mission now to get the paper."
So then what happened? You went off to college?
Well, he went to the military, and that was a help. And I went on with my school, and after I graduated, and then I went to NAU, and I was working at the women's shelter, and they had free class for the people that were working there. So I start off in social work, and it was okay. And then when it got to English, it got so difficult. And my professor told us that we had to write an essay. And I knew what essay is from my point of view, so I wrote it. And in front of everybody, she walked up to me, she says, "This is not how you do essay." And she was so upset with me. She looked at me. She says, "I don't think you belong in college." And then I closed my book. And I said, and everybody was quiet. And everybody was listening. It took me a while. And I finally said, "You know, you said that I don't belong here." I said, "What if it's you that don't belong in here?" And she turned around, she said, "What?" I said, "If you were all it," I said, "how did you get a diploma? And you're saying what you said to me, and any professors, they shouldn't say that. If you think that I don't understand, whose fault is it?" I said, "You're the teacher. Maybe you need to do some more research and teach me how to do the essay the way you like it, the way you want my Navajo words to be turned around." I said, "I have nothing against you."
So how was it, you know, in the long run, dealing with marriage and starting a family when you have like one foot in two different cultures at the same time?
It wasn't only the culture, and it was also the family. The family he's from. They, even though they're Navajos, they were very judgmental, and I don't know how they got information on my family. They say that I come from a bad family, very poor family. And we had livestock. We weren't poor. I look back, and a lot of people say we were poor and we have no resources. always think that's a lie. I always say that's a lie, because we got everything in life out there. You can stand at the top of a hill and look around. Everything's there.
So
medicine,
you...
food, activities, everything you can have with your children, yourself. Everything's there. If you look, if you listen, if you have knowledge, you can be the richest person there and be in better health. And that's how I look at it. I always say I was brought up in a very healthy environment. There was no drugs, no alcohol, no hitting, no spanking, no yelling, nothing.
Is that the how you wanted to raise your family?
That's how I raised my family. I taught them everything I do. So,
had you seen other women give birth on the reservation, or was that is that just a private thing to each family, or is it a community
situation? We don't go to somebody's house because they're having a baby. That's not the net people. We can go there for baby shower and maybe a birthday. But other than that, when somebody's giving a birth, you don't go over there.
So did you have any idea what to expect?
Nobody told me. It's private, and it's not going to be exactly the way they experience my parents. But I heard a lot of stuff through school, health, and but it didn't dawn on me. It was just talk, because my grandmother and my mother said it's our own personal experience. It's not because somebody had a baby with a horrible pain, or you know, some of them didn't have no pain. And some of them didn't even show they were having babies. And so my grandmother said, who are we to talk about somebody else? You know, and we can still ride horse, we can do things, we can herd sheep. She said, there's no limit. Every exercise that comes along, we can do it. And my grandmother's the one that delivered me. And
at home?
At home. And of course they don't talk about it.
She didn't tell you the story of your birth?
No. The only thing she told me is my dad got so scared, he panicked, he packed his stuff and took them outside. And he put them all against the hill, and put the food out there, blankets. I don't know why he was thinking. And then they told him, you come back in here, you have a little girl. So I don't know what he did, but that's what my grandmother said. And then the mom's mother can't look at the son-in-law. He said, if you look at your son-in-law, you'll go blind. So it sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
So when you finally introduced your husband to your family, your mother could not look at him in the eyes.
He went to her and he told her mom. So it was like his mother. And my mom would just laugh and sit there like that, shy. They didn't speak English, but they understood. And when I had my first child, I was still in school, and my mom said, for now, this is my baby. You go back to school. Go do what your father had asked of you to do for yourself, so you can come back and raise these kids. She said, I'm not going to raise her. I'm just taking care of her. So I did, and I went back to school.
Was that hard to leave your new baby?
No. Because my mom was my teacher. She taught me everything. I knew she would do better than what she taught me. You know, there were things she left out, maybe she learned more about that she would share with my daughter. So, and then after a while, when I come home, my little girl started saying my sister to me. And that kind of put a little confusion in my heart. And I didn't say what or anything. I just talked with her, told her what she wanted to know. And it took a while, and one day we're sitting together, and she looked at me, and she said, "Is it true?" She said, "Sherlinda, is it true you're my mother?"
How old was she then?
She was about 4.
So did you live with your parents in the same home?
No, I didn't live with my parents. I lived at the BIA school. And we were taken away from a boarding school, and without our parents' consent, they just load us up and haul us away. And I didn't see my parents for 9 months at a time. And they did all kinds of stuff to us. I had real long hair. They cut it off because I didn't know how to braid my hair. And when I learned, it took me a long time to braid it, so they just chop it off. That's how I went to school. And I always told my kids, you know, you're very fortunate. Your mom, your dad can speak English. My parents didn't speak English, but I made it, and you can do it too. So you just set your mind to it and do it. Just remember to let me know so I can come to your graduation. So they graduate, and one of my son has a business, and the other one started a business in California. So they all doing great, doing good things. My oldest, Emma, she went to the military, and she got out during a Desert Storm. And then my youngest went to the military. He just completed 10 years. He just came home 2 weeks ago. So we have family reunion here. After not seeing him for almost 3 years, and he came home.
So did you give birth your child in your parents' home or in the hospital? Or?
No, I went to the hospital. I had my babies in the hospital.
Were your parents present, or was anyone there that you knew? Or were you by yourself?
I was by myself. That's the way it was, you know. They never were there when we were with our whoever we mate with, and, you know, it's something we made a decision on to have a baby. And after the baby's born, then they come in.
So the father came in after the baby was born, after your daughter was born?
Yeah, so I with my first one, we came shopping here in Flagstaff. And I was running around taking care of everything. And then all of a sudden, I started experiencing pain. And then I thought, I must be tired or something, you know. It was my waist. It wasn't so bad. It was just like aching. And then I thought, maybe it's because I'm walking on sidewalk and pave. So I try not to think it's time to have the baby. But I didn't have it till the next day. And
did you go into the hospital at that point when you felt the pain?
No, I didn't. I want the pain to go away. So I just stayed at home. until it got so bad. And then I told my grandparents, I said, I think I'm having a baby. And that's how I got into the hospital.
Was that a long drive from the reservation, I assume, with your grandparents? Or were they in the city, or how?
At that time, it was a long drive because there was no pave. It was dirt road. And all that bump. So that's, my grandpa was the first person that came in. And he looked at her and he said, this is one of them new generation. She already has dark eyebrow, curly lash, curly hair. He just laughed about it because I have natural curl too. And he said that nowadays the babies, you know, they're all ready. They got their makeup on. And he joked about it. But they all helped me. They didn't ask me if my daughter needs diapers or food. They just bought it because I'm their child and their granddaughter. And they knew I had all of that, but you know, they bought them and drop it off and let baby shower every week or something, you know. And she would comment, my grandma, I wasn't buy a dress, but I didn't know what size she wears. But I made one for her, you know. So that's how.
Did you nurse or use formula or any other thing, goat's milk?
No. It was kind of funny. When I left the hospital from Tuba, I told them I want to go home. And they said, do you have a ride? I didn't want to be in there, so I said, yes, I have a ride. So they gave me some little blankets and some bottle, and I don't remember what else they gave me. I was just a little kid myself. And then I went to this mission in Tuba. And then I found out we ran out of milk. I wasn't nursing her. I tried to nurse her, she won't even swallow any. So I left her there, talking about child neglect. I look around, there was nobody around. So I put her to bed and hitting her behind on the blanket. And I ran all the way down to the trading post. It's just about a block. And I bought canned milk. I think it was Carnation. And then I ran all the way back. And I forgot we didn't have can opener. I wasn't sure what to do. I was thinking about how we nurse the lamb and the little kids, you know. I was thinking about that. But they had black nipple on the bottle. But this one, you know, you put a little nipple on the bottle. And then I went and asked one of the lady, and she told me that there was a knife, and she gave me the knife. And I opened the can, and she asked me what it was for. I told her I wouldn't drink it. I didn't tell her I had the baby, because they would say, you know, everybody would gossip if a young girl has a baby in those days. They would say, she's no good, she runs around, that's how she got pregnant, all this, you know. So I didn't want nobody to know. So, and then all of a sudden, my mom had carries the baby, so they want to know how that happened. You know, my mom got the baby, and I'm still going to school, and people were confused. And so that was my experience, and my labors were really painful. But I had my little girl.
Did they give you any pain medicine?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I was a little girl when I used to herd sheep, and I found this 2x4. we didn't have any toys in those days, and I never knew there was a town or another place besides where we lived, the Hogan. And I was herding sheep, and I found this 2x4. And I looked at it, and I thought, I wonder what they use this for. And then because we don't use lumbers in our Hogan. But on the wagon, there are boards. So I guess I got to talking with my grandpa, and he told me they were lumbers. And then one day I was sitting there looking at the 2x4 on the hill. I was herding sheep, and I started running this imagination. It's just a little girl. And then I thought, this is my baby. This is my doll. And I tore off one of my bottom skirt off, and I wrapped it. And I don't know who told me how to take care of a baby. But I used to hide it in the sagebrush, because if I took it home, my grandma would build a fire with it. So every time I go here, I pick it up and talk to that board. So when I have my daughter, I look at my daughter, and what I saw in that board, that's what my daughter looked like. Maybe similar, black hair. And I just cried. I cried because that's what I saw. That was the love I saw when I was a little girl.
That's really touching. Yeah.
I think most of my desire, having all other things, was that one day I was herding sheep again. I saw this magazine. It rained on. It was an old magazine. And away from home, picked it up, and I sat down and started looking at it. And I saw these women with real nice dress, high heel, nail polish. And I thought, when I grow up, I'm going to have nail polish on my nails. I'm going to have curl hair. I'm going to put lipstick on my lip. I don't use lipstick. And I thought, I'm going to put eyebrow pencil on my eyes. I didn't know what they were, but I wanted that. And they had nice dress, and I thought, I'm going to have a real nice dress. They used to have those petticoats. I said, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to have one. I never wore one. They went out of style. So it was funny, and I had that magazine for a long time. I hidden it in the sagebrush. I don't know, maybe the wind took it away. Maybe my grandma found it and built a fire with it. But that was my childhood, you know. So along with that, my grandparents and my parents, they talked to me about someday I'm going to have a family of my own. And then I thought, what are they telling me? Am I good enough, you know? I'm a child here. And there was my aunt and my sister, but the BIA school takes them away and they go to school somewhere. I don't even know. So I stay home. I heard I wasn't old enough to go to school. So I learned to ride horse. And I was never afraid of horse. Even the wild ones, we used to ride them, fall off. And we used to use our skirt, that pasture, come down and go into the bushes. Sometimes we land on a cactus and we get all these needles, and somebody had to pick them up for us. So it was a lot of adventure that I see besides becoming a mom and all the preparation of being brought up with the firm and instruction and all the artwork, how to take care of the livestock, how to fit support meat, and how to use the wool to make dress and blankets. And I learned all those things. I don't remember saying, I don't want to do this. It was always a design that my grandma or my mom was putting in. And I wanted that. So that's how I went to school. There was no cars, no TV, nothing. And one day my dad had brought back a radio. And I sat there and I could hear people singing. We were sitting in the shack made out of juniper tree. I said, "Dad," I said, "who's singing in there?" I said, "Oh, what are those people doing in there?" He said, "They're singing." And I said, how big are they? Are they little?" He said, "You just laugh about it. It's just..." And then him and my mom, they went somewhere. I don't know where they went. And then I know that my dad had these screwdrivers, and I saw him working on the radio. So he left, and I unscrewed all the back of the radio, and I took that board off. And I look in there. There's nobody. I said, "Hey, yeah, where are you guys? You know, let me come in." There's nothing. And then I put it back together. That's before I even went to school. I knew which screw goes back in, but I guess I put them back in crooked. And my dad said, "The radio is not working." He said, "Did you fool around with it?"
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I told him, I said, "You can answer." Yeah. "You can listen to it." I said, "I didn't ruin it. I just looked in there for those people that were singing." And he laughed. He wasn't mad at me. He was so... He said, "You're so funny." And he said, "It's just the voice. It's just in the air." I said, "How come I don't see it?" You know, there's so many things I talk about. I wanted to see it. And sometimes I would sit there and I would almost see the notes. I mean, I guess that's how powerful I made my mind work. And I didn't know what airplane was. Nothing. Just a way of, in that way of living. And that's how I was brought up. And that's what I taught my kids. They learned to do things. All the things that I've done and learned, and they're doing it better than I have. And they can make jewelry, they can make a cell phone case with initial on it. And just so many things. That's my aunt up there and her husband. Her husband passed on a few months ago, but that's my mother's younger sister.
When we started talking, you were talking about birth and the process of birth and what it means to have children and how complicated that experience is and how sometimes communicating your experience can help other people be less, you know, afraid. Or can you kind of revisit some of those thoughts that you were talking about?
By having a child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember, but I remember my mom or my dad say things like, "If it's gonna be a girl, she's gonna always make bread and do weaving," and that kind of stuff they would talk about. And they didn't say she's gonna go dancing, things like, nothing like that. She's gonna watch TV or something. No, nothing like that. It was always what they experience in life. And so I guess that's also to store them in my mind, to be empowered so when I have my family, that's what I have to look for. So it was always preparing me that's what they lecture me. Everything that they taught me, it was preparation. My grandmother told me that too. She said, "I'm not going to be here forever." And I didn't know about death. I said, "Where are you going?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You're too little to know now." She said, "I'll tell you sometime." And she didn't. And when she passed, I saw her in the casket. I didn't cry, I just looked at her. I said, I think I understand now, I told her. So it's kind of like 3 weeks later, it finally hit me. I just cry and cry. That's what she was talking about. That's why they prepare me. They say, you either listen now, or there's a door. There's no place to go.
How did you, how was the experience of being pregnant and feeling your daughter inside you and all of that?
It was a beautiful experience. And I think I mentioned it to my mom one day. I said, look at this bump, you know, just one side. And she said, that's probably her knee. She already said, that's probably her knee. She's probably just sitting there, you know, with her knee like that and her elbow on. And I said, how do you know? And she just laughed. And she said, I remember when I was carrying you, you used to do that too. So there wasn't that many talk about me being carried by her. But she told me that she nursed me. And they didn't use diapers in those days. They used kind of like a soft bark off a tree. Up on a shrub, and it's so silky, it's just like cloth, softer than a diaper, cloth diaper, softer than a pamper. That's what they use.
What did you use?
I used cloth diapers. I wash by hand. Once in a while, I used pampers, like when we were traveling. I think it's just enjoying, you know, being pregnant. And when I came across not having any maternity clothes, you know, and told my mom that my pants gotten too small, she said, you know how to sew. So I made maternity pants and a shirt, and I said, look, I made these. She said, they look nice. She said, they look like, they look better than store-bought. She goes, I don't know how perfect it was, but. So.
That's nice.
We had our giggle, you know, how she admired and carried my sister and me, and how she lost my little sister. And there were no vehicles, so my dad carry my little sister on a horseback all the way to Tuba City Hospital.
When she was a baby?
Yeah, she was in the cradle board, and 5 days after he left her there, she died. That's what they told him, but they never showed him the grave. Sometimes I say, what if she's alive? What if somebody just wanted to take her and raise her?
Yeah, that's scary, just the not knowing.
Mm-hmm. And I told my mom that, and I think she said that she saw someone that looks just like me at the time. I said, I did too. I said, I saw somebody that looks like me. We look at each other and we smile. And I was working with criminal justice. And I was a victim witness advocate. And we went to this one place, and there was a young girl. She was standing outside the hogan. And she looks just like my mom, my dad. And then I thought, what if that's her? So sometimes I don't know who to talk to, because they're very protective of the records, you know, in Tuba City. So there's really no way to point out. My mom, my dad said they went to Tuba. They went to a cemetery and they looked. They saw nothing. Maybe it was too far to take her home, so God knows, you know.
Be mystery.
In those days, it was like that.
How did you end up getting? I keep envisioning this picture of you with your baby and the can of condensed milk in Tuba City. How did you end up getting from there back to your parents' house?
I think somebody from the Presbyterian Church took us out there. There was a man that had a little church down in our area. So he comes into Tuba City. I think he took us home. I tried to think about it. I think that's him. He took us home. And it was funny. I got out of the car and I was carrying a baby. And he was no longer a 2x4. He was a real baby. And I didn't even have any baby carrier, nothing. We didn't have those. So they already made cradle board. It was all ready when we got in. And then they blessed my daughter and they put her in. They left her arm hanging out and she was all waving at. So that's the way it was. And they say you'll have a good posture and your leg will be nice and straight and, you know, you keep your babies in cradle board.
Can you describe what that looks like, the cradle board?
It's kind of like, do I have anything like that? It's kind of like a board like that. And just straight down, and down here is just straight, and then the footing, it's just strap in, and then they have these leather or either cloth, it goes zigzag, and then there's a string that goes back and forth. You wrap them in each loop. And I think I had a picture of it, but so that's. That's the good thing. I have, let me get it.
Yeah.
My children's cradle board. So I have one for the boys, and I have one for the girls.
Oh, wow.
I said one's okay. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Like that. And then there's a one up here, like a hoop.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the head. And then another board that comes up from here is strapped down. And then here they loop in with a cloth or either leather.
Mm-hmm.
They tie this together.
Can I take a picture of it? Is that okay?
No.
No. It's okay to say no. I almost want to make a little drawing of it or something. It's really fascinating.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have one for the boys and one for the girls.
Are they different sizes?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mm. When they get a little bit bigger.
That's so
I guess when they get into a bigger one, that means they're going to have to be weaned out of it.
So did you carry them in that?
Yeah, like that.
Wow.
And I don't know how, maybe I was strong, you know, I was carrying my baby in this.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty bizarre.
What?
Should we just stop?
Oh.
you were totally asleep. This is kind of nice too.
Yeah, that's nice too. We're talking about your jewelry.
This is my children.
Oh, wow.
My goodness, what a beautiful family.
Wow.
Four boys. Some of them are my grandson. This is my son that just came back. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's my second oldest and his wife.
Oh.
They look lovely.
That's really cute.
And they have families of their own.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did you give birth to all of them in the hospital?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a C-section?
No.
No, that's great.
This one is this one right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that the oldest?
This is the one that in the military right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then him, he lives in California. And then this one lives in Venus. These are my grandkids. That's my daughter back here. She's pregnant too.
How many grandkids do you have?
Altogether, 13.
Oh, wow.
That's my two youngest. The one in the military and the other one in Venus.
So sweet.
That's the one in Venus. That's my daughter. That's my second oldest. His wife.
That's wonderful. So who came to visit you today? Or you said that you had family in town?
It's this one here.
This one, yeah. Oh,
that's my grandkids.
Oh, yeah, they're gorgeous.
His children. Oh.
Beautiful family.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting. Where do they live again?
They live in Venus.
Oh, great.
They went to school here, and they got their grant, and they went to college.
Yeah.
Done.
You know, we're in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
And everybody knows him.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of famous.
Very popular.
We're interested in a couple pieces of your jewelry. Can you give us any prices on them?
Which one?
The bracelet. And this one's a nice piece, too.
This one is $25.
Great. Okay, we'll take these two.
Okay.
I love them.
Okay.
Wonderful. Can I write you a check? Is that okay?
Yeah.
I don't have cash with me.
This is coral.
Oh,
that is really beautiful.
This is Sleeping Beauty. It's really hard to get right now.
What's called Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, what is your name?
Charlinda.
What's your last name?
Mueller.
Mueller. M-U-L-E-R?
M-U-E-L-L-E-R.
M-U-E-L-L-E-R. Oh, great.
You don't have to put my middle name in there. Just.
It's a lovely first name, Sherlinda.
Yeah, that is really pretty.
Sherlinda. It's the 28th or 29th? I've only said it several times.
It's the 28th.
The 28th, and it's about 1:30.